And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I'm gonna take a step back. Here I go, taking a step back from the microphone. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to wish myself a happy birthday. Yeah, I'm going to wish myself a happy birthday. I'm even going to sing the birthday song. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear Albert. Yeah, it's actually my name, Albert. Happy birthday to me. Okay, so why am I singing you this birthday song, other than the fact it's my birthday today? Well, the reason I'm singing you the birthday song is it marks a milestone in my life. It marks 61 years that I've been on this planet, and it marks 6 years since I've been retired as a real estate investor. Two very important milestones in my life. So why do I bring this up? Well, at one point in my life, I was doing exactly what you're doing for retirement. I was working hard. I was trying to stuff money into whatever retirement plans that I had available to me. And I kept my nose to the grindstone. I didn't look too much at my retirement accounts. I couldn't see my pension account because it wasn't visible to me. I just knew that if I kept serving in the United States Army and I was able to get to 20 years of active duty service, I would earn a pension. So I was on that milestone. And I just kind of hummed along throughout my life until I got to a point when it was time for me to retire. Now, let me just tell you what happened. 2014, I'm 50 years of age. The Army selects me for promotion, and then they select me for retirement. And because I can't be promoted fast enough, the promotion order takes a secondary position to the retirement order, and the retirement order stands. So I find myself, after 27 years of plugging away, retired. I'm 50 years of age. I'm in Fort Living Room, not knowing what to do with myself. But here was the problem that I had. I was hemorrhaging money. In other words, my expenses of life far outweighed the income that I was bringing in retirement. Because this is what happened in retirement. My pay and allowances, everything that I earned on a monthly basis, went down to about one third of what I used to make, but my expenses didn't change. So there was a giant inversion in my household because my income, it was gone. I mean, there was some there from the retirement, but I couldn't live off of one third of what I used to make. And no matter how much I tried to cut everything in my household, it was a bridge too far. And I did what most military retirees do. I struggled to get back into the workforce. Now I was 50 years of age. There's a little thing that goes on out there called ageism. I realize that it's illegal to discriminate against people based on age, but I'm here to tell you it happens every day. Now, people just don't come right out and tell you, well, the reason I'm not hiring you, Al, is because you're old. They don't tell you that. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking whatever they're thinking, and they're discriminating against you. And I went through a lot of that discrimination. It took me 10 months to find gainful employment. And every month, I spent more money than I made. So how did I survive? How did I not file for bankruptcy? Well, I owned some assets. There were vehicles, one for every driver in my household. So I had four vehicles in total. They were all paid off, owned free and clear. I had the deeds, or the title, I should say, because technically, personalty has a title. Real estate has a deed. I had the titles, and one title after another, I went down to the bank and I took out a title loan and I lived off the proceeds of that title loan. And when the money ran out, I took another title down to the bank, wash, rinse, repeat, until I had put a mortgage, if you will, or a loan, whatever you want to call it, on every one of those vehicles. So now I had payments on those vehicles that I didn't have before. I ran out of vehicles. Still hadn't found a job. Started reaching into my wallet because I've got credit cards in there that have cash advance features. I figured, I guess I'm all in, right? About ready to take my first cash advance out on a credit card, and I get an email, job offer. Not the job that I really wanted, but the job that I needed to stop the financial hemorrhaging in my household. So I finally got back into the workforce, and it was difficult. It was difficult going back into the workforce because I went into the workforce at a job that was really way below my skill level, but it was a job, and I needed a job because I had to stop the financial hemorrhaging in my household. And the new job came with a pension component also. And I figured I'm 50 years of age. If I work until the age of 70, I can get 20 years vested in this new pension. I'd get pay and allowances for the 20 years that I worked for the organization. At the age of 70, I could leave the job. I'd have two pensions. I'd have the military pension. I'd have that second pension. And then I could qualify for maximum Social Security benefits at the age of 70 because I'd be the age of 70. So effectively, I'd have three pots of money coming into my household and I should be okay, right? Well, there was a problem. It was a really big problem. I didn't like working anymore. Well, I didn't. No, I changed all of that. I did. I changed it because that goal of working till the age of 70 didn't really fit with what was going on in my brain. In my mind, I had worked very, very hard for the United States military. I spent 27 years serving our country and I was tired. I was ready to retire. I mean, that's one of the things you look forward to. You look forward to that retirement. And then you get to retirement and you realize there isn't enough money in the retirement account to support your lifestyle unless you want to make some drastic changes. And well, I was willing to make drastic changes, but there were certain things going on in my life that I couldn't change. So I was kind of stuck with some of the bills that I had because of the lifestyle I was living. So I went back into the workforce and I worked. I worked until the age of 53 and I stumbled across Lifestyles Unlimited, just like you're doing right now. And I listened to the message and I thought, well, you know, my scam alert was going off. And I thought, well, you know, it sounds too good to be true. Maybe it is too good to be true. But then I thought, let me go check it out. Let me just qualify in my mind whether or not it's too good to be true or it's not. So I checked it out and I tried to blow holes in everything they were trying to teach me and I couldn't do it. Wound up joining. Became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, the ripe old age of 53, after working for, a good 2.5 years in an organization I was miserable working for. So this real estate investing, education, and mentoring that Lifestyles Unlimited provides, it's exactly what I needed. It was everything that I needed. It allowed me to work on the tactical, the operational, and the strategic elements of real estate investing because it taught me everything I need to know in order to make all of those elements complete. So I went to work. I went to work correcting investments that I had made previously. Now, I'd owned real estate for a very long time, but I had done it wrong because I was following a different methodology that's different than what Lifestyles Unlimited teaches. So I was getting mediocre results, but I didn't know they were mediocre results because I had nothing to compare it to. But then when I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, holy smokes, man, was that a gut check. But here's the beautiful thing. I could take a bad situation and I could make it good. And that's exactly what I did. I had three duplexes that I still owned in the great state of Kansas. And I'd owned those properties for a long period of time. And I wasn't operating them correctly because nobody had really bothered to teach me how to correctly operate the property. Once Lifestyles Unlimited cracked the code for me, I turned $1,000 of negative cash flow into $1,000 of positive cash flow just by doing what Lifestyles Unlimited taught me to do. And then I wound up selling those assets and I did something called a 1031 exchange and deferred all the gains in those properties to follow-on properties in the San Antonio market. Those properties in the San Antonio market were really good investments. And here's why. At the time I sold the duplexes, we were in a seller's market. I got top dollar for my duplexes. I then transitioned into some distressed properties and bought them. I fixed those properties up. I rented those properties out. And then as the residents left the property, in other words, they leased for a year and they decided it was time to move on. When the resident made that decision to leave, I put the property on the market in a seller's market. I got great prices for those properties. What did I do with all the cash for those properties? Kept it in cash. Yeah, I've got a bunch of cash sitting right now because the real estate markets are going through a change. The real estate markets are in a buyer's market right now. I think it's pretty safe to say that across this nation, you would find yourself in a buyer's market in just about every real estate market that you go into. Now, some are stronger buyer's markets, some are weaker, but the trend is to the buyer. What does that mean? It means the buyers get the good deals in the transactions. In a seller's market, the sellers get the best deals in the transaction, but in a buyer's market, the buyers get the best deals in the transaction. I've been sitting in cash for a while, waiting to pounce, waiting to buy property that's probably going to come on sale. And here's why. There are other people out there that did a poor job of determining what the market could provide them. And in their desire to acquire an asset, to win the deal, if you will, they grossly overpaid for properties. When the interest rates went bananas, which they did, it caused a situation in the economy where things got a little out of balance. Now, whether or not you're invested in real estate or not, you've noticed that things got a little out of balance. But things seem to be resetting. Whether you believe in the tariffs, whether you don't believe in the tariffs, things seem to be resetting. Now, we may go through a period in this country where it's difficult. It may be a one-month period. It may be a two-month period. It may be a six-month period. Heck, we might actually get to a recession. So what does that mean for you as a real estate investor? It means if you understand the real estate markets that are out there and you have selected specific real estate markets to invest in, this is a time when you can make a lot of money. Now, our founder and CEO, Del Walmsley, he's been talking about this to the Lifestyles Unlimited community for the last good year to 2 years. And I think everything that he believes will happen is on the verge of happening. There's a lot of things going on in the multifamily markets. There's a lot of things going on in the single family markets. Regardless of which market, I believe it's a buyer's market, which means if you're a buyer, you should be looking for deals. You should be looking for assets that you can buy and put in your portfolio that will get you to a place of retirement in the next 5 years. We come back from the break. I'm going to talk about this Kansas City place that I mentioned earlier. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so right now by talking about a market that I've invested in previously, and I'm actually considering maybe investing in this market again. But before I spend some of my hard-saved cash, because that's where I'm at, I'm in cash with my assets, before I spend money, I want to make sure I understand the markets. I want to make sure that I pick the right market for me. So what I've been doing literally for the last couple of weeks is I've been giving you little market updates. I've been giving you little snapshots of different markets that Lifestyles Unlimited members invest in. I mean, we've talked about the Texas markets. We've talked about the Atlanta markets. We've talked about the Tennessee markets. Now I'm going to talk about the Kansas City, Missouri markets because I think it's a great place for you to invest. Now, historically, the growth rate has been about 4.5% annually. So that's measured from 2010 through 2019. Now, from 2020 to 2023, the growth rate increased to 6.5% with a peak of 7% in 2022. Then in 2023 through 2024, historical growth rates continued at about a 5% year-over-year measurement. Now, I got this information from Rentometer's quarter three 2024 statistics for single family residences. And there's another source, iProperty Management 2024. The reason I'm giving you the source citations is I'd like you to go check these sites out because you'll find data there. Now, some of these sites are pay sites. In other words, you've got to spend a little coin to find out what information is available. Some of the sites will give you like a 7-day free trial period so you can check it out and see if you even like it. Others will give you a, hey, sign up, and then you can cancel at any time. So what I'm getting at is that data development tends to cost money. And there are services that will provide data to you that aren't necessarily free, but they will provide you relevant data. Just make sure you're choosing what sources that you get your data from correctly. I'm serious about that. All right. What about projected growth rates? From 2024 through 2026, they're forecasted to be 3 to 4% annually, supported by a 5.8% home price increase, according to Redfin, and steady population growth of just barely 0.1% year over year, though tempered by an 8.9% vacancy rate, according to iProperty Management 2024. What did all that mean? I just hit you with some stats, and some of those stats you absorbed. Some of those stats you decided you'll look them up later. Some of those stats you have no idea what they mean. So what does it mean? Let's talk about it. What does it really mean? Your growth rates indicate that people are moving into the area. There are more people moving into the area than moving out of the area. What does that mean for real estate investing? It means that the available housing stock that's in that area can only support so many people. Now, you do have new housing stocks that tend to come on the market. They come on the market in the form of single-family properties. They come in the form of multifamily properties. And they tend to come onto the market and bring additional capacity to the marketplace. But ironically, if you've ever studied the ability for housing being built to meet the demands, we don't do a good job of that. So what does that mean for your rental property? It means there are potentially more people interested in renting your property than you have property available to rent to them. That's a good problem. That means you have people competing for your product. And when you have the right product in the marketplace, in other words, you follow the methodology that we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited, which is clean, functional workforce housing. When you understand what that standard is and you put that standard into place in the marketplace, people take notice. They do, because they've seen, trust me, I've been a renter, so I know that I can go to one place that's asking a certain amount of money, and it could be nice, it could be clean, it could be everything that I'm looking for in a property. And then I could go look at another property just down the street that's asking the same rental amount, and it can be just a dump. It can be a dump. So which of those two properties would probably get rented? Well, the clean, functional workforce housing one, for sure, because that's what people are looking for. People are not looking for the Taj Mahal. People want something that's clean. They want everything to work. They don't want hassles with their rental property, and they don't want to be chained to their rental property while they're waiting for you to send somebody over to fix something that should have been fixed before the person moved in. What about these other stats? What about steady population growth? Ties in with the projected growth rates. They're kind of synonymous. But what you want to look at is you want to look at historical growth rates, and you want to look at what the economists are modeling for future growth rates. Now, there's no guarantee that a future growth rate will be accurate. It could be higher. It could be lower. It could be accurate. But the chances of it being accurate, slim and none. Yeah, slim and none. So what about this vacancy rate? Vacancy rate is something that allows you to determine when your property will be offline. Your property is sitting vacant because one resident moved out and you're waiting for a new resident to move in. What is that measure of vacancy? Well, for the greater Kansas City market, it's 8.9%, according to property management. 8.9%. So what does that mean? It means you could expect potentially upwards of a 9% vacancy rate on your property. So your property over a 365-day period would be vacant for 9% of that period. Does that make sense? So what does that really work out to be? I mean, I'm trying to figure it out in my mind, and I'm thinking, what, it's a couple weeks, 3 weeks? Okay, well, it's 3 weeks where your property is not producing income. Is there a way to work around that? There's totally a way to work around that. And we teach our Lifestyles Unlimited members to do this every time. When your property, here, I'll just teach you. When your property is getting ready for renewal and you send out your renewal notice to your resident and you contact the resident and the resident tells you they're not interested in renewing, they'll stay there for the end of the lease, they'll move out, and you can have the property back. What do you do in that time period between when you've given the property notice? In other words, you've let the resident know that it's time to renew or it's time to go, and the time they actually leave. That is a period of time that you should be marketing the property. Now, chances are you can't show the property, but what you can do is you can put a for rent sign in the front yard. I'm going to switch gears on you because I really want to get into historical rent growth. Because even though the area is growing, there's net migration into the area of Kansas City, Missouri. What we have to look at is how well are rents responding to the general marketplace. Now, we need this as real estate investors, not because we want to just raise the prices of rent on our residents. That's not what we want to do. But two of the expenses that we deal with vary. They're variable expenses. You want to know what they are? Property taxes. They can adjust. Depending on where you live. Make sure you understand how the property taxes can adjust in the area where your property exists. The other thing is insurance. Insurance can go up, it can go down, but usually it tends to go up. And it tends to change pricing annually. Sometimes, depending on who your carrier is and depending on what you signed up for, maybe the pricing changes every 6 months. So make sure you understand those expenses in your marketplace, and then make sure you understand whether or not the area has historical rent growth, because that increase in rent growth allows you to keep pace with some of the expenses that you pay for as part of operating the property. So what does Kansas City do? Well, historically, the rental growth rate was 4.5%. That was measured in 2019. In 2023, it jumped to 6.5%. And then in 2024, it dropped down a little bit back to 5%. So what is it projected to do through 2026? 3.5% growth rate. That's the projection. Now, it's down a little bit from previous projection numbers, but it's still going upwards. Did you notice the trend? Still going upwards. Why don't we take this Kansas City information that I've given you and put it in context to all of the data that I've been dumping on you over the last couple of weeks? In other words, I've given you information about the markets in Dallas, given you information about the markets in Knoxville. I've given you information about San Antonio, Atlanta, Chattanooga, Houston. I've given you some suburb demographic information. But all of this information is just kind of information until you put all the information together and you kind of rank order it. Wouldn't that be interesting to know how all these different municipalities compete with each other in the categories that I've been talking to you about? Well, let's do it. All right. Historical rent growth from 2010 through 2024. So it's a 14-year span of information. Dallas is number one, followed by Knoxville, followed by Kansas City that we're talking about today, followed by San Antonio, followed by Atlanta, followed by Chattanooga, followed by Houston. Now, this is all with historical rent growth. Dallas showing 6% pre-2020, 7.7% from 2020 through 2023, and currently a negative 1% year over year. But keep in mind, it had a pretty big spike. So I think it's absorbing a lot of that stuff. Knoxville started at 5% pre-2020, jumped to 7%, and is currently at 1% year over year. Kansas City at 4.5%, jumped to 6.5%. Now, here's what I find real interesting. Whereas all of the municipalities that I've talked to you about have shown either a slight decline or barely a slight growth in rent growth, all of them except for Kansas City. Kansas City is still humming along at a 5% growth rate, even though it had a spike of 6.5%, it's still growing. That's kind of a neat outlier that indicates that rental prices are still going up. Does that mean that rental prices in the area are too low for the area? I don't know. Does it mean that rental prices in the area are being driven by demand? Because remember, there are people moving into the area. There's net migration into the area because we've already talked about the historical growth rates, right? Now we're talking about rent growth. And now we've got this anomaly where Kansas City is still doing a 5% year over year, where every other municipality has kind of taken a tactical pause. Something to consider about the Kansas City market. Now, is that particular piece of information the piece of information you need to have in your arsenal to go invest in Kansas City? I don't know. You have to decide that. I don't decide that for you. You decide that for yourself based on knowledge and information that you gain. Though, of course, the easiest way to do this is just become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. We will teach you everything you need to know and turn you loose on the world. Yeah, that's how we roll. That's how you'll roll too. And you, trust me, you'll do a great job because you'll have a mentor. You'll have your fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members that you can rely on. And at the end of the day, you'll start working towards changing your retirement destiny because you will understand how this real estate works in conjunction with your retirement plan. And then you'll just want to be like all the people that I bring on this radio show. You will just want to buy real estate. You will just want to buy real estate. All right. What about the, now we've talked about historical rent growth up to this point, and I gave you the numbers like effective today. And yeah, Kansas City is kicking all the other municipalities bottom. It is with current numbers. But what happens? What happens when we look at projected rent growth? In other words, what do we see? What does our crystal ball tell us for 2026? All right, rank ordered, here they come. Dallas, 3.5% growth. Knoxville, 3.5% growth. Kansas City, 3.5% growth. So those three municipalities are all tied for first place. Kansas City is in first place for projected rent growth. How do the others shake out? San Antonio at 2.5%. Atlanta, 3.5%. So technically, Atlanta is tied with the other three. So technically, it's a four-way tie. I don't know why that data showed up incorrectly in my list, but it did. Chattanooga at 2.5%. And Houston. Houston shows up at a 3.5% projected rent growth. So it's technically a five-way tie, right? Five-way tie? So what does that tell you? It tells you the markets are still solid. They're solid. Now, some of you are like, well, unless I see a 10% rent growth, I'm not investing there. Well, I'll tell you, if you see a 10% rent growth, you should definitely invest there. But a 10% rent growth is kind of like an anomaly, kind of like that 5% historical rent growth in the current year for Kansas City at 5%. It's kind of an anomaly. So you got to treat that appropriate. You have to understand why is it an anomaly. And once you understand the why it's an anomaly part, then you got to figure out if it benefits you. Because that's what all of this is about today, by the way. This is not about me doing info dumps on you. This is not about me trying to hurt your head with information that you need to have swimming around in your brain. This is not about me forcing you to go to websites where you go, oh, these are boring websites because it's all facts and figures and statistics. This is about me sharing information with you that can help you identify markets that will be great elements, or I should say, great locations for you to invest in. And it all starts with doing some market research. It all starts with figuring out where is the best place for you to invest your money. Now, there are municipalities in the United States of America that don't even come close to making my list. And the reason they don't come close to making my list is because, well, all the factors that I've been talking about, they're bad factors. Bad factors: historical rent growth declining, projected rent growth declining. Do you want to invest in a declining area? Think of Detroit, Michigan, not the suburbs, but Detroit, Michigan proper. That's what I'm talking about. That's not the place for you to invest your money. The place for you to invest your money are places like Dallas, Knoxville, Kansas City, San Antonio, Atlanta, Chattanooga, Houston, and the list does go on. And I may give you more information on a future show. Look, if you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, you want the education, you want the mentoring, you want everything that Lifestyles Unlimited provides you in a neat little package, what you need to do is go to lifestylesunlimited.com. When you get there, sign up for a free workshop or sign up for the expo, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.